Welcome to Ink and Impact, the podcast for Christian writers who want to impact their readers. I'm your host, Daylene Bickle, and each week I'll help you keep a pulse on the publishing industry, showcase Christian authors and their books, and share ways you can improve your craft and magnify your message. Whether you're a fiction or nonfiction writer, traditionally or indie published, established, or just starting out, this podcast is for you. Welcome, everyone, to Ink and Impact. Today, we are blessed to have a wonderful guest, Melanie Redd, who is an author, blogger, and speaker, as well as a podcaster. She's been married to Randy for the past 31 years and serves alongside him in ministry. Additionally, she's mom to two awesome young adults and a crazy Australian shepherd. God's grace never ceases to amaze her. And so welcome, Melanie. Thank you so much for joining us here on Ink and Impact.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here. It is fun to get to do this with you.
Oh, well, I am glad to have you. And one thing that I ask all my guests is, you know, the name of this podcast is Ink and Impact, and it's all about books that are impacting their readers, right? So I'm curious if there has been a book, obviously the Bible, so a book other than the Bible that has significantly impacted you in some way, whether as a child or more recently as an adult.
Yeah, that is such a good question. I had to, when I saw the question, I had to go back and think. And it was really fun when I went back to think. Every book I could think of was a devotional book. As a child, we used to read this book called Little Visits with God. And it was this white book, and it was just a verse and a story and a little prayer at the bottom. And I mean, we read that every night. It was a big book. And then when I was a teenager, somebody gave me two classic devotionals. One is called Streams in the Desert. And the other one is called My Utmost for His Highest. And they just are these great. They're, you have to read sometimes two or three times because they're heavy, deep devotions, but they so impacted my life. And so I look back and I think, well, I feel like those devotionals really impacted how I see the Bible, how I see God, how I see my faith, and how I live, even though they were just short little one page. You know, you'd read them one at a time.
Yes. And I'm very familiar with My Utmost for His Highest. I'm actually currently working through that one for like the third time. So it's just a phenomenal book.
Yeah. So I don't know how many times I've read them, but anyway, it's kind of fun to look back.
It really is. And you get something new out of it every time.
Yes.
At least I do.
They even put them in more current language, but I still like the old language. It makes me feel smarter or something.
It forces us to be smarter, right? We have to look up some of those words.
Yes, I had to look up the words. I'm like, what does that mean?
Oh, now from what I've gathered, we just recently met through Instagram. And so I did a little bit of research and discovered that you have written a lot over the years, and you started out writing for Lifeway, some Sunday school curriculum. Am I correct?
I did. That was kind of my beginning as far as writing. And so, you know, it's been fun. I've just been always amazed by the power of words and how God can use words. And I had a friend that was writing Lifeway little magazine articles, like contract work. Like, I think it was $300 to write a little magazine article.
Yes.
So I got in on that because she knew somebody. And I mean, my kids were little. So I was, you know, I was probably in my 30s, and it's been years back, but it was great practice and preparation. And I learned so much because you had a certain amount of words and you had a deadline.
Yes.
And then from there, I started writing with this was what the Southern Baptist Convention Lifeway was at the time. And so I started writing those little old lady Sunday school quarterlies. And so somebody had to do all that. And so they would have a ton of writers just in one. And so it was so interesting to learn the other side of it and how it all works. And it was it was a great experience. And I learned so much about writing. So that's kind of how I got started. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And so fast forward to today, you now have a new book that's just recently been released. It's called Just Rest, a 90-day devotional and journal. So we're going to get into that in a little bit and talk more about that. But I'm just curious, how have you seen God at work in your writing journey from those initial Lifeway Sunday school to today being your own author?
You know, I think one of the coolest things is from just even the simplest social media post, I am so amazed at how 100 words or 200 words or 300 words can impact somebody so greatly. And so it's just been fun to be able to use words, whether it's on social media, whether it's in a book, whether it's in a magazine, to honor God and to bless other people. I'm just amazed by how a few written words can change somebody's day.
They absolutely can.
And so I think that's been the most fun of this journey, is I just think that my simple words, you know, a few sentences, and somebody goes, wow, I needed to hear that today. And you think, that is so cool that something I typed up or put on my phone and notes could actually make a difference in someone's day.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit can work through those yeah. words and just touch yeah. people. Exactly.
Well, and you know what else is amazing is a lot of times I just put up scripture. I just take a verse, I put it in a current translation like New Living, but I am so amazed by how powerful just one verse can be in somebody's life as well. So words are powerful. God's words are powerful and our words are powerful.
They absolutely are. I agree. Yeah. So it sounds like devotionals have been a big part of your life, from reading them when you were young to now writing them. You know, how do you hope to impact your readers with these devotionals?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think it's pretty simple for me, and I like things easy. I know some people sometimes think it's too simple, but I'm like, really, I have two things. I want to offer hope to people, to their hearts and lives, and I want to point people back to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And if I do those two things, really nothing else matters. I have political views, but I don't use them primarily in my writing because I feel like that's not my calling. My calling is to point people to Jesus and to give them hope. And so I would say those are always my two things I really seek to do more than anything yes. else.
And that leads kind of into the ministry that you have, right? And can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Well, I know you had asked how I got called into writing. And you know, it's so fun. I think we can sometimes not see what God is doing when we look ahead, but when we look back, we see and we think, wow. And I look back and I had to think about this today as I was praying through our conversation, what we're going to talk about. And I thought about a third grade teacher that I had. Her name was Mrs. Winters. And I used to love creative writing. And I remember one day she pulled me up to her desk. I was in the third grade. I was in an all-girls school. And she looked at me and she said, "You're good at this. You should keep writing." And it was that simple. But I remember it like it happened yesterday. And then kind of a few years later, I'm 15 years old. I'm at youth camp. It was a summer camp in June. And the camp pastor, Dan DeHaan, was sharing that he felt like God was calling some people in ministry. And that night, I felt God's call. I just knew that God was calling me to do ministry for the rest of my life. And my heart was to minister to women.
Wow.
And so that was cool, but I had no idea that that would involve writing, you know, as I look back. And so I got my bachelor's degree at Baylor University, and I have an education and English background. And I started teaching school, and that's when Lifeway kind of came into the picture and reached out to me. And so I started writing with them. And then years later, I'm blogging and writing books. And so it's just cool to see how God took a love as a child, and then he took my heart as a teenager. And now he's letting me as an adult do all these things that just fit with my story.
Yes, I love yeah. that. I love that. So I know you said you have a heart for women, and from some of your backlist titles, other books that you've written, it looks like you have a specific heart for teen girls and young women. Is that correct?
Yeah, I didn't even know how much I did. and a few years ago, I got contracted to write a book with a company called Callisto. They're in San Francisco and in New York. And they wanted a devotional for teen girls. And as I began to study and pray, it was to be for pretty much 11 to 18, 19 year olds was kind of our range. Okay. It actually ended up being a lot of younger girls read it too. But it's been a lot of fun because what I realized is I love to see especially teenage girls fall in love with Jesus when they're 13 and 14 and 15, because then they can serve him their whole life.
Right.
I had that experience and I want that for other kids. Of course, God redeems people at any age.
Yes.
But there's something wonderful about a kid not having to go through a horrible season of rebellion or not finding the Lord later in life, but coming to know him and trust him when they're young. And so I think that's really where my passion began, was if I can encourage young women, young girls to love Jesus now, they can avoid a lot of sorrow later.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah. And I think too, I had so many adults invest in me as a teenager, and I had so many that discipled and mentored me that it probably gave me a greater heart to minister to other young adults and young kids. And so my kids are older, but I can still look back to some of their experiences and write. And so it's been really fun to see how God has used. There's two books especially that are geared toward teenagers, and they're both devotionals, and they both have really reached a lot of kids. And so my prayer is that, you know, this whole generation that gets to, you know, read these kind of books will fall in love with Jesus now.
Yes. Yes. I echo that. You know, I'm curious, what inspired you to write your current book, The Just Rest, a 90-day devotional?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's a fun one because this one, actually I wrote three devotions in 2 years with the same company called Callisto Media. And one of them did really well. It just became a bestseller. It's called Live in Light, 5-Minute Devotions for Teen Girls. And so I had a lady reach out to me actually on Instagram, kind of like you did. And there are real people out there on Instagram.
Yes, we exist.
You don't know. She had a college-age daughter. And she said, I want you to do for college and young adults what you did for teen girls. And she said, I want you to write a 90-day devotional, and I want us to cover the topics of anxiety and fear and doubt and depression and worry. And so we met. It was actually crazy because it was in 2021. This was about February of 2021. We were still wearing masks and we were still locked down, if you remember. And so we had to find a Barnes & Noble, and we sat at the coffee area and kept drinking coffee so we could have our mask off. And we talked for a couple of hours. It was great. She's a new publisher called Endgame Press, and she's opened her shop in Nesbitt, Mississippi, which is about an hour from me. And so we just began to brainstorm, and we came up with this idea of a 90-day devotional called Just Rest. And it would be, at the time, we thought it was going to be for young adults, for college and singles, because she had these young adults and I did too. But what's really been fun is as we begin to study and pray, and I begin to look into it and talk to my friends that were not young adults, they said, well, I'm young at heart. Can I read it too? And so as we did kind of our research, we found out everybody struggles with anxiety and doubt and fear, and some with depression. And it's an epidemic and it's a problem. And so as I begin to study, the project began to take shape last summer. And what I love about this book is it's not just a book that says, don't worry, don't be afraid, don't fear. Every single day points you back to how you can trust God. Mm-hmm. Every single day is either about his character or his name or some way that he proves that he's faithful. Mm-hmm. And so my prayer in doing this devotion, this particular one, is that people will read, especially women. It's very pretty. It's turned out.
It's beautiful. Really pretty. Yes.
Yes. Hold it up. Beautiful. Yes. They call it a diary, but it's got a page. It's just a short devotional. It's got some scripture. It's got something called a daily declaration. And so every day you say out loud something like, for example, if the passage was about the Lord is for me, then every day you read out and you say, I know that God is for me. I can go through this day with hope and with courage because God is for me. Mm-hmm. And then there's a prayer time. And then there's a whole page. I love this. The whole back page is interact with what you just read. And I'm a school teacher, former school teacher. And so I like good questions and interactive questions. So it's not just write your thoughts. It's very specific to what you just read. Yes. And so our prayer is that after 3 months, you will trust God more, that you can just rest because you believe there's a God and he will take care of you. And that's really the essence of the book. It's very simple, but it's very targeted toward you don't have to live afraid.
Right. Oh, that's so good because, you know, we all do need those reminders daily. And unless we're intentional about it, you know, sometimes it goes by the wayside. But if we have that book handy, and of course, scripture, keep that Bible handy always, God's word can pour into us whatever we're going through, whatever situation. I love that. And I love the application part too, because it's a lot like writing. We can think about writing, but it's not until we actually start doing it that we start learning and growing and really getting those aha moments, right?
There is something profound about writing it down. It affects you. I believe it helps you to actually write out the scripture and write out some of the things that you just read. And there's something that your hand tells your brain when you both are going to say it out loud and then you're going to write it down. So our hope is that they don't just read something. Here's a little something. Instead, it'll be like life-changing to interact with these truths every day. And yes. So I'm excited. This book is beautiful and they did such a good job with it. And at the end, I'm going to share, I'm giving some away today. So yes. I'm excited. So excited. The listeners are going to have the chance to get one.
Yes, absolutely. Everybody listen up because stay till the end because you won't want to miss that. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious too. So this whole topic is on rest. And why do you believe rest is so important for people?
Yeah, that's such a good question. You know, I was thinking of the old adage, you can't pour from an empty cup. And I think especially women, I'm sure men do this too, but I think women live on dry or almost dry most of the time. But we're like the old, the story of the man that had to sharpen his axe. There were some loggers out in the woods. My pastor used to tell this story, so I loved it. But he said often they would just keep going after the axe would get rusty and it didn't cut as well. But there was one man that always would stop. And sometimes he'd spend hours sharpening his axe. And he would tell the other loggers, he'd say, I will cut down more trees if I take time to sharpen this axe. And so that's what rest does. Rest just sharpens your axe. It fills your cup. And I think so often we don't do it. We put it to the side.
We don't.
And we don't practice it because who has time to rest, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah. It's that intentionality. And I think one thing I was reading through the Look Inside feature on Amazon of the Just Rest book. And on day one, you quoted Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. And I loved how the Message version that you shared puts it. And there was one sentence that said, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. And I just think that is such a beautiful and profound statement. You know, it's God's grace is available to all of us, right? But we have to learn to accept it. And we have to, especially as writers, get into unforced rhythms, right?
Yeah.
And that takes practice and it takes time and it takes God and it takes intentionality. And I really love that phrase.
Yeah, that's a great translation. And you know, nobody can go 100 miles an hour without stopping sometimes. We all have to have a break.
We do.
And we need breaks every day. And so more and more I've learned that I have to set some time for rest in my day because then I have a fuller cup, you know, or I have a sharper axe for the next day.
Right. And, you know, tying this into writing as writers, all of us listening are writers. We all know that as we are putting together a book or launching our book, just launched a book, there are a million and one things to do. You know, it's not just putting pen to paper. It is the social media. It is the marketing of the book. It is getting a website built. It is all of these many things that, like you said, we could work 24/7 if we, you know, really wanted to. There's enough stuff to do that. So what are some tips or some ways, because you're a writer yourself, how have you been able to find rest during those seasons of writing when you have deadlines due and all of that?
Sure. I have a lot of ideas, but I'll give you a few. I found for me, I need to start every day in prayer, open the Bible with my journal and my pen. I need some time before the God of this universe every single morning. It just starts my day well. It fills me up. There's something about it. I can't always explain it, but when I sit before the Lord and I take a few minutes with him, I am better. And so I tell people, you need to be full before you start writing or you'll have nothing to share. And so that's a start. I also love to take a walk every day, get outdoors. Even it doesn't have to be like exercise. It can be a stroll, but there's something about a walk, a few minutes outside, a bike ride, sit outside on the porch, some time outside will do you a little good as a writer. And then I would also say, put good things in your mind. If you're going to be pouring out for other people, you need to be filling up with good music, podcasts, books on tape, and limit the amount of negative and junk that you allow in. I mean,
that's so good.
What you're watching and listening to, because it'll affect you as you're writing. And then I tell people, one of my favorite suggestions is write a little bit every day. Set a timer on your phone for 45 or 50 minutes and write that long and then go on with your day. People say, how do you write a book? I'm like, one section at a time.
One word at a time.
You know, it's not rocket science, but I have written 4 books in 3 years. So I know what I'm talking about. And I've done five ghostwriting books. So that's 9 books in 3 years. You write every day. That's all you do.
Yes.
And it's amazing how much you can get done in one little short segment when you focus in.
Yeah. And I found too that whenever you begin to write consistently, it becomes easier rather than if you take a whole week off and then you try to sit back down to write and then you're at square one and you don't know what to do. But if you maintain that consistency of writing, even just a little bit every day, even if you don't have a full hour, you know, 20 minutes, whatever you have can really help to lay that groundwork, build that momentum and get you into that rhythm.
Absolutely. And I also tell writers, when you're starting out, don't edit it to death. Just put it on paper. You can edit later. There are plenty of ways, you know, you'll have plenty of time for that. Just let it kind of free flow and go ahead and throw out whatever you're thinking on. And when you get an idea, I also keep a notebook handy. And whenever I have an idea, sometimes I'll jump out of the shower and I have to go to my notebook because I'm coming up with ideas, you know, keep you a way to record or even speak it into your phone.
Yes.
Because writers, if you're creative like we are, there is always something going.
Always.
And so, yeah. I got one more and I read, this is kind of a fun one. Try to go to bed 30 minutes earlier. Now this sounds crazy, but I read where Tom Brady, Hall of Fame football player that you may have heard of, most women have, he goes to bed at 8:30 at night. He gets 9.5 hours of sleep a night and he has done amazing things. And so I tell people, go to bed a little earlier. You will rest better and you'll feel better.
Yes.
So those are just a few tips that I thought of.
Yeah. Oh, those are great tips. Thank you for sharing. Yeah. So I know a lot of our authors are aspiring authors, the ones listening, and they might be debating between, you know, self-publishing or traditionally publishing. And I know you mentioned that you were actually approached by a publisher. Have any of your books been self-published?
Oh yeah, I've done it all.
Okay.
Yeah, I have. I was thinking about it. I have 9 books. 3 are contract books, which means I've worked with the company, but I don't own the book. It's an interesting kind of writing. 3 are traditional with the publisher and 3 are self-published. And, you know, I was thinking about it. I've done it all, but I think it often depended on the season, where you are and how much money you have to spend. And I want to share this tip. Now, you're not going to believe me, but it's true. The only people that care about publishers are writers. I've never had a woman at an event come to me and say, I can't believe you use this publisher, or I can't believe you self-published, because they don't care. They care about the message. I know it's hard to get past that, but I will tell you, I don't think there's much difference in the books that I self-published, contracted, or that were published by a publisher. If they're well done and well edited and they look good and people can read them and they have a good message, the publisher doesn't matter. So I hope that's not negative toward any publishing company, but I think there are a lot of people that have a book. And so if you have a book, write the book. Don't worry about exactly who publishes it or how it gets out there. If you have to self-publish, there's no shame in that.
There's not. No, I agree 100%. Yes. So you've done all of these books and you've published in all these different methods. What are some of the biggest challenges that you've had to overcome to write and publish a book?
Oh, you know, I think so often it's like we all have to overcome this to believe that somebody's actually going to pick it up and read it. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a certain part of you that thinks, is anybody going to want to read this book? You know, is this too simple? If everybody's already heard this, somebody wrote a book just like it, whatever we tell ourselves. And I think that we have to believe when God puts it on our heart that there's a reason for it and that he has a purpose for it. And we're the only ones that could do it. You know, I believe my message in my way, with my past experiences, with the way God's worked in my life, is different from anybody else's. And so is yours. And so is anyone's listening. And there's plenty of room for your book.
Absolutely is.
Yeah. And so I tell people, write the book, go for it. Someone somewhere needs to read your book.
Yes.
And once I started believing that, and once people actually buy it and want you to sign it, it's amazing how that'll encourage you. Hey, I could write another book. So I guess the biggest challenge or the hardest part is getting the first one done. Once you get one book done, it's like people say about having children, you know,
once you one more, one or
two, just one more is no big deal. So, you know, I tell people go for it. Even if I have to self-publish it, the next one then may not be, because I've done all those and it's not kept me from having a publisher reach out to me. But you got to start somewhere. So that's where I was. I just had to overcome. My first book was published in 2010, so 12 years ago, but I had to get past the whatever doubts I had to go for it. And once that one came out, the ball started rolling. You know, it was just a snowball started going down the hill.
So I know you've shared so many wonderful tips with us and your experiences. I didn't know if there were any others or maybe a writing truth that you might want to share with us before we conclude.
Well, I'll tell you one that I love to share, and it's just sort of a general life truth. But one of my mentors taught me this. She said, it's from Psalm 118:6. It says, "This I know, the Lord is for me." And she said, you need to tell yourself over and over, remind yourself, God adores you and he is for you. And so I would say to anybody listening or watching today, no matter where you are, or who you are, or what's been said to you, or who's done something to you, God adores you and he is for you and he has purpose for your life. And so don't doubt that he loves you no matter what anyone else does. Mm. And that would be my encouragement to you today. The Lord is for you. He's for me and he's for you.
Yes, he is. Oh, that's a great way to end this interview. I love that. Thank you.
Let me share this too. I have actually two ministries. I'm trying to, you know, I didn't have enough to do with one, so I have two, but I would love to connect with anyone that's listening, with your followers or your readers. And so you can find me at melanieredd.com or reach out to me on social media. Mm-hmm. For most, especially women, if you'll reach out to me and say, hey, I heard you on the podcast, then we'll become friends. On social. And I've also partnered with another local ministry to start a podcast and a virtual women's ministry, and it's called Women Living Courageously. So I would love to connect with any of your folks on that site as well.
Yes, and I'll be sure to put those links in the show notes too, so people can click on those.
Well, I thought to help and encourage Darlene and her ministry and Ink and Impact podcast, it'd be fun to do a giveaway. So here's what we're going to do. If you will leave a review wherever you're watching or listening, and a rating on this podcast, because this is essential for this podcast to grow. If you'll leave us one of those and then send Darlene a screenshot or a picture of it, because it sometimes takes 2 or 3 days for it to show up. And if you'll also send her your mailing address, then we will enter you in a special drawing and we're going to give away, I will sign them and send them to you or send them to her, copies of the Just Rest devotional that's brand new. It's only been out about a month. And so we just need you, just if you'll put in how you rated it and give us a picture and then send us your address, then we'll enter you in the drawing. Also, for everybody listening, I've got a free gift. It's called 101 Ways to Experience More Rest, and it's on my website. And so we'll put it in the show notes and they can link and get a copy of that, whether they leave a review or not.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you so much. I'm so excited for all of you listening. Make sure that you do leave the review on whatever platform you're listening on. And you can, if you follow me on social, I'm on Instagram and Facebook, especially. And then also, if you prefer to email that photo of the review, you can do that at info@inkandimpact.com. So thank you so much, Melanie. As I said, I will be putting all of those links to everything you mentioned in the show notes. And of course, we will be airing this on the inkandimpact.com website and also on YouTube. So wherever you choose to listen or watch, we are so glad that you've joined us. So thank you, Melanie. Thank you very much.
It's been a joy. I wish you the best.
In this week's industry update, there is a new app available to help readers discover books called Tertulia, Books Worth Talking About. So I went to the app store and saw that their description reads, quote, "Inspired by the informal salons, tertulias of Spanish cafes and bars, Tertulia is a new way to discover books through all the lively and enriching conversations they inspire. Tertulia serves up book recommendations and book talk from across social media, podcasts, and the web, all in one app which incorporates seamless book purchasing. U.S. only. If a book has moved someone enough to get them talking, you can find it, buy it, and share it on Tertulia," end quote. So I discovered this app after reading the article, "New App Aims to Improve Book Discovery," from publishersweekly.com. I'm excited as a reader, but I'm still curious as an author. The article mentions that the app plans to work with publishers, but I wonder if self-published books will be discovered too, since it says they call their book recommendations from discussions on podcasts and social media. Time will tell, I suppose. But in the meantime, it's a good reminder to talk up and recommend the books we enjoy. If we don't have time to write a full book review and place it on Goodreads, that's okay. We can still tag the author and hashtag the book title in social media posts You never know who will see it and share it even further and help our favorite authors. Now we're on to the question of the month. In episode 2, I asked, do you typically write short books, under 400 pages, or long books, more than 400 pages? And have you ever considered whether your readers prefer longer or shorter books? Let me know. Send me an email to info@inkandimpact.com by June 30th, 2022, and I'll share your responses on a future episode. Next week's episode is all about how to turn your difficult experience into a powerful story with guest author David Mike. David is passionate about sharing the message that we do not have to be defined by our past and that God can use our kind of mess for good. Don't miss it. What do you think? Did you like this episode? Be sure to go to inkandimpact.com to subscribe. And if you know a fellow Christian writer, please share this episode with them as well. That's it for today, fellow pen pusher. Remember, don't just write a book, make an impact.